Hello, I'm Andrew Tuck and you're listening to Tall Stories on Monocle 24, brought to you by the team behind The Urbanist, the show all about the cities we live in. In just a few minutes each week, we talk about one building, one statue or one park bench that reveals something special about our cities. The architectural and urban legacy of former Moscow mayor Yuri Lushkov remains a subject of heated debate. Many Muscovites simply hate it. But while Lushkov condoned the destruction of historic buildings and streets, he also encouraged architectural experiments. Our tall story, number 18, is one of these experiments. Dasha Paramanova is an architect and lecturer at the Strelka Institute who comes out in defence of the Lushkov style. She spoke to our contributor, Alexei Korolyov.
Вперед, сделав еще один шаг к тому, чтобы Москва стала прекрасным.
That's Yuri Lushkov, the former mayor of Moscow, speaking during City Day celebrations in 1997. This was arguably the highest point of his career. Under his reign, the city had changed beyond recognition. People loved him, and he was even reportedly thinking about running for president. That certainly never happened, but Lushkov remained in power until 2010, when he was sacked in disgrace by the then-president Dmitry Medvedev. The 18 years of his rule had left an indelible mark on Moscow's economy, culture and architecture, where the so-called Lushkov style became epitomised by the tasteless and garish office blocks, shopping malls and residential developments. But Moscow architect Dasha Paramanova thinks it's not all bad. She recently wrote a book calling for a re-evaluation of Lushkov's legacy. I met her in front of one particularly curious specimen of it.
Yeah, it has a name, Egg House, and of course...
Because it looks like an egg.
It looks like an egg, and it's like the whole story why it's an egg, and also...
it looks like an Easter egg, because it's red.
It's Easter, and it's also Faberge. And I believe that, of course, it's already a monument, and in general, the work that I was doing was about, can we today extract the monument of the future? So this is, of course, the one that already, after it was built, put itself into the future, into the history. Why? So first of all, of course, it's outstanding look. But let's say it's not that simple. Because there are several features that you might not observe, of course, from outside. One is that it's actually the first individual building, individual house, built in Moscow since 20s. And if we're talking about the collapse of USSR and buildings that in general appeared in this period, like first 20 years after this happened, they of course started to manifest new values. And today we might observe, of course, that some of these values kind of disappeared. So that's why it's another reason to preserve this monument. It's actually really... symbolize the way we perceived how, you know, our life going to be developed. And of course it symbolized somehow that it's failed because this building is still abandoned and there is no owner. It's also another feature of, let's say, what is its monument to. It is a monument to the idea that also was extremely popular in the 90s, kind of a bit reverse the history. So we lost this kind of empire and we're trying to rebuild it. So we're trying to fill the gap or kind of really avoid the 70 years of Soviet Union to go back directly to this kind of Tsar time. It's a bit of some kind of turbulence that happened with people's mind. It even was a big movement that was called the retro development. And then actually in a big scale, it's brought us to the moment when we started to think that we can rewrite the history. And this is kind of extremely dangerous, and especially for the city. Like, it was a moment when many monuments was demolished with the idea that you really can shift something that was happening in the past.
What you were saying earlier, and what this building is also a reflection of, is the idea of private property, because, of course, that didn't exist.
So that's I believe, extremely interesting that, again, it's still remained undeveloped. No one today wants to live in an egg house. You cannot imagine a person, although it could be a very provocative one. I don't know, like even kind of very provocative Russian pop stars won't allow it themselves. It's a statement, you know, I live in an egg house. And it is important that it was designed in 1998, from 1998 till 2001, because it was a long process. Originally, it wasn't designed for this territory. And the explanation that I read was extremely crazy, that the architect had a commission of maternity house, and they somehow was inspired that the maternity house should look like an egg. And then this idea was transformed to another project that they were executing in Moscow, which is not here. Patriarch House is second most, the brightest building built in this period by the same architect. They didn't want to abandon this idea, so they were looking for the place where it could be built. And it's a kind of a parasite because it's attached to this big house.
Yeah.
And still kind of trying to advocate its appearance here with the way that it's actually, you know, occupying the just remained plot. What is also interesting about the period, 1998 is a big crisis happened in Moscow. So actually, like, it was developed exactly on this kind of final wave of the extreme ambitions and extreme, at the same time, misunderstanding of reality. And it's immediately after this kind of went to the ground. So that's why, for example, it was designed not for this place, but for another. So they were imagined that they will, I don't know, will build it on the Red Square, and that it was normal. And after 1998, of course, these things changed, and the whole development of architecture changed. This building, it, of course, belongs to the 90s, and pre-crisis period, because after crisis such things absolutely were not possible.
You've been listening to Tall Stories, a Monocle 24 production. Our thanks to Alexei Korolyov for today's episode. Remember to tune in every Thursday for the full 30-minute edition of The Urbanist. I'm Andrew Tuck. Goodbye, and thank you for listening, city lovers.